Welcome to the Jeremy Mullins podcast, where we take a deep dive into different educational topics to help you optimize your life. I am Jeremy, your host, and I'm here today with what we like to term friends of the JM podcast, Miss Maddie. How are you today?
I'm good, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on again today. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you're on. I'm glad we're doing multiple, episodes with you on here. It's always neat to see, because each episode is different. I got that, right? Like we can see the views on it. We can see the downloads on it, and it's kind of cool to see the trends, but it's also different people listen to different topics, which is awesome, right? And I see a little bit different trend of different people, that are listening to, yours and I's conversation, which is awesome, right? Because we're really bringing in, I like to say, different experiences, right? And a volume of experiences into the conversations. And talking about things that are not necessarily like my game plan. And what I mean by that is, I like to say keep things simple, simple is sexy. I do a lot of walking with my clients, resistance training, certain, diet parameters, protein, calories being, the main two. What we're doing is kind of taking deep dives into these. And I'm like you, I don't like to call them they're not specialty diets, they're not fad diets, I would just say that they're
like dietary patterns of public interest.
That is why you are here. You have such good wording when it comes to that, right? They're hot topics, right? And got a lot of good feedback on the keto podcast that we did and from both people who are doing keto. Or they've done it in the past and was like, you know what? That totally makes sense. Right. And so that was cool. It was not, and that's what I want the listener to know. We're going to talk about carnivore today, diet. And we're also going to look at the paleo diet. Right. And paleo, I used to teach like early in my nutrition career. I would say that, I kind of had some blinders on when I was teaching that and in the sense that like, okay, we had to be this way. Like if you're going to eat beef, it needs to be grass-fed beef. Don't eat any other type of beef. Good thing about that is you learn that, diets are individualized, right? And there's good, better, and best when you're making choices. So you might not be able to find grass-fed beef, but if you can find grass-fed grain finished, that's going to be pretty good. If you can't find anything, grass fed, then you get a leaner cut or a lower fat ground beef and you're good to go. Right. So good, better, and best. So other than that, how's life?
Life is pretty good. Life's been busy, I think, for both of us lately, but to reiterate what you said, it's always fun to come on here and take a different approach to things that we kind of encounter every single day and to deep dive a little bit more into the information that's out there. And I especially like these because, we pick these topics, Jeremy, but for your listeners, there are a couple of ways, I guess, that we pick these topics. One, there were just a couple that I know wanted to do right off the bat. And we have this little like ongoing shared note. But the other thing that happens, I feel like a lot of times, is we get into these conversations and it sparks some creativity and some inspiration for future topics. And that's, I think, what is so awesome about coming on here, taking the time out of our weeks, even though we live far from being in the same state, we still get to come on here and share some of this information, which is, a nice change of events from what we're doing, I think.
Yes, and something that's changed for me, and I'm sure that you may get this a little bit, just being on as a regular guest, like I will do stuff and I start taking notes. Like I'm like, I need to talk about that. I need to do a podcast on that. Right. And this past week was spring break, for the kids, and we were traveling. And it was just a crazy, crazy fun travel trip. Right. Like, I had, I had drill weekend, the first weekend. So drill weekend, in Kentucky. We left there. Yes. We left there to drive to West Virginia, and a random 6 to 8 inches of snow, hit. And I remember you checking in on me, like, hey, I didn't hear from you, later in the afternoon. And I just sent you
a video.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I had to leave drill early. Here is what I had to drive through. But you know what was cool about that, and a topic I'm gonna do later is about, you know, supporting your significant other inside of fitness journeys, right? And I think that's so
Such a
important. Like,
good topic, Jeremy.
yeah, and you know, because I've got to take a step back, right, and understand the situation, and like, I don't enjoy running, but running is one of those things that you can do quick, you can do efficiently, and I can get up and get it done and get my workout in for the day,
And you can
right?
do it anywhere. That's one of my favorite things. Like, you don't need anything. So whether you're on vacation, whether you're traveling, whether you're in a remote area, whether you're in a city, running is something that you can take with you. And if it's a skill that you can maintain, that's awesome.
Yes. And what I did was I just got up and done it early because I had to do a little bit of work, you know, mid-morning. And then the baby would sleep her normal time, say 11 to 1. And then what we would do is at 1 o'clock, I'm sorry, when I got back from running, Katie would go ride her bike around the neighborhood, you know, get 10, 15 miles in. And then we would go out and let her train on some of the bigger climbs. So I had the kids in the car, you know, we're driving behind her, you know, letting her climb these, you know, I call them hills. And she kept saying, Jeremy, they're a mountain. You know, so it is West Virginia, you know, we're in Dolly Sod. So, but it just got me thinking, like, you know, got to talk about that. We got to talk about, like, you know, hey, you got to support your significant other inside of their fitness journey, so for them to return the favor. And it's just a communication thing, right? And being able to, for me, you know, yes, running is not the style of training that I like to do day in and day out, but
I
it
know
was,
you, we know that you love your barbells.
yes, like, but I'm not going to pack a barbell or drive to a gym in the area just to waste time, right? You know, so that, you know, I took notes on that. I'm like, need to talk about that, right? And, you know, talk about travel, food. And so that's one thing I have noticed doing the podcast is, like, you know, I catch ourselves doing stuff and be like, you know what? I've never educated on that. It comes natural to me. Let it be a topic. So,
I love that. I agree. It's certainly something that, like you said, I mean, you and I, we podcast together every other week. And so it's always something I'm thinking about. So I'm either I'll come across things that relate to future topics that I know we'll be covering, and it lends me to like bookmark them and look deeper into them. Or to your point, just coming across things that I don't necessarily know I would have taken the time to dig into a little bit deeper, but topics that I, you know, maybe have been familiar with, but haven't deeply explored and kind of can use those as future podcast fuel. So
awesome.
that is cool to think about.
All right,
So we're
guys and
learning, and
gals.
hopefully your listeners are learning throughout this journey.
Yeah, and I've gotten you know, a couple messages, you know, inside the app, you know, where it's just kind of random. Like, you know, we'll be having the conversation of the week and their check-in, and then they'll just message and be like, hey, future topics, right? And I love it, right? Because it throws out
That's
some different, you
awesome.
know, yeah, throws out some different stuff. But today, guys and gals, we are going to talk about the carnivore diet and the paleo diet, okay? They are close to the same, you know, but with some slight differences, of course, you know, but one of the big things
Well,
that
I actually, I'm going to interject, Jeremy. That's kind of what I thought too. And I think that's what most people think when they think of these two diets, but they're actually very different. And the paleo diet, if we're talking about like the traditional paleo diet, which I think is what people are basing it off of, it's a very small amount of meat consumption.
Well, let me backtrack that, right? They're almost the same in modern ways that they're ran, if that makes sense. From what I've like seen. And when I say, what I mean by that is, like,
Oh, okay. In terms of
yeah,
execution.
correct. Because, you know, a lot of people don't like, they don't like to eat fruits and veggies. So they end up eating a lot of meat on a paleo diet, right? So that's my viewpoint. But this is what's always good. And I was gonna lead with this. Remember, guys. There is not a one size fits all nutrition approach that works for every single person, right? We are not here, you know, preaching these two diets. We're not here saying that they're not good. We just like to do the definition, talk about them, talk about experiences. That way you can wrap your mind around it, right? And that is the ultimate goal. And remember, you know, sometimes nutrition gets emotional. And what I mean by that is you could do diet X, right? Fill in the blank, whatever that is. And it worked for you. You had success with it. And if Maddie and I come on here and say, you know, hey, the duct tape diet isn't going to work long term, right? When you take the duct tape off your mouth, you're going to end up eating something. It we don't want you to get mad at us, right? We're just, making that statement. So keep that in mind. There's not a one size fits all approach, when it comes to nutrition. Our goal is just kind of to educate. So with that
That's
being
a good
said,
point, Jeremy, because food, nutrition, eating, all of that is, we do have strong ties emotionally and socially to it. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because yeah, we're not on here to say we have the right answer. We're just on here to have some discussions and provide some information around some of these topics that I think people are really interested in.
yeah, and you're actually the main character today because I know you put some time into researching on this. So what I'd like to kind of do is let you kind of take the lead, and I'm just going to give kind of experiences, right? And what I mean by experiences is like working with people. And if there's something comes up that I want to ask, I'll send it over to you. So kind of start with whichever one you would like. Talk about what it is, the definition of it. Maybe what it should be, and what we see people doing.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest distinction, right? Yeah, let's go ahead and dive into the carnivore diet. I think that one, in particular, I've had a lot of individuals kind of bring that one up to me, recently, and so I would classify that as a relatively popular, approach or interest of folks right now. And what the carnivore diet is, by its, definition, not always what you see necessarily in practice, but it's an animal product-based diet in which you don't eat carbohydrates. So the foods that you're consuming are animal products, which means this is meat, poultry, eggs, and dairy primarily. And Jeremy, maybe you can answer on this. I don't know what, and I guess maybe it's up to the individual. I don't know what the stance is on fish. I mean, it's an animal product, but I don't see a ton of fish being consumed from most people who are on the carnivore diet, but I don't necessarily think it's off the table.
Yeah, and I think that's where, once again, you'll find, like, if you quote unquote Google it, you'll find like different rules on it.
Yeah.
Some hardcores, don't put fish in there, and it's only red meat sources. And then some of them, do put, fish in there. So,
Yeah.
once
There's
again,
that spectrum, I guess, of like intensity. So that's really what the carnivore diet is, and kind of just going into why it was popularized, I think, and some figures in it. By it's touted a lot for weight loss, strength gains, building muscle, so hypertrophy, as well as improving energy levels and mental clarity is what some people report experiencing when they're on the carnivore diet. Another thing that I always like to point out, I think people seek out nutrition and training advice, especially from individuals who they want to look like aesthetically. And so when you see the people that are promoting the carnivore diet, it's often very muscular men and women, individuals that are following that diet that are really intense and passionate about it, that say it's the best thing. It's very, very sellable on social media. And that's not to say one way or another, but that is a common thread. It's very hard to be objective, I think, if you are in a place where you're looking for health advice, to not fall into the trap of being convinced by someone based on how they look versus
yes.
their background or the information they're providing. It becomes hard to be objective.
Another topic probably that I have written down that we're going to do a podcast on is like social media dysmorphia, right? And what I mean by that is like I'm seeing this as Brady gets older, like kids, more teenagers, right? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, just getting out in the workforce. Like there's this missed thing of like, hey, if you're 18, 19 years old, you've got a first job that's 40, 50 grand, like that is great, right? But
Yeah.
like they see all this stuff online where it's just like, dysmorphia of like, someone saying, oh, I'm a seven-figure earner. No, your company is. What is your take
Yeah.
home? Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same thing what you're speaking to here is like we see this, right? These people are marketing this, they look a certain way, and it's like, okay, this is what I've got to do, right? Now, you mentioned something there that I really like, and I will. This is why I don't just run away from these when people say they want to do them or they want to try them. Better, like mental clarity, they feel better, more energy. I got it. And this is what I always go to, like most quote unquote diets that are healthy have in common. We are cutting out the simple processed foods that make up 60 to 70% of the average American diet.
Yeah.
right? Like, so that's where, like, a lot of times I'm okay with people kind of starting this, and I help them do it in a healthy manner, right? And guide them through it versus, you know, just saying, no, don't do it, or, you know, it's whatever, giving
Yeah.
the negative. So.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Jeremy. Because when we do work with individuals, I think one of the biggest, I don't know if I want to call it mistakes, but for lack of a better term, one of the biggest mistakes we can make, especially I think early on when you're working with individuals on trying to help them with their health, is to shut down their ideas when they come to you. And so, because like you said, there are elements of this diet that are clearly working for people. What I would try to educate people on is if they're doing this diet, to help them identify the fact that them cutting out blueberries and broccoli and sweet potatoes and lentils and beans is probably not why they feel better. It's probably, like you said, because they're cutting out white bread and, you know, sugar sweetened beverages and high fructose corn syrup and ultra processed foods, right? Those refined carbs. So that's an awesome point that you made. Kind of going along the same lines of what we were talking about in terms of where people are getting their information and where they trust it. Another one with this, and I bring up this name, Sean Baker, who was an orthopedic doctor and an athlete. He was one of the individuals who wrote a book about the carnivore diet and kind of revved up a lot of attention around it. And I say his title because oftentimes people hear doctor and, you know, they hear athlete, or again, like I said, they see what someone looks like and they automatically associate those things with authority and expertise. And just because someone is a doctor doesn't necessarily mean that they're a nutrition expert. But people hear doctor and they automatically assume all things health. And that's, you know, that's not only unfair to the individuals out there consuming that, it's also unfair to doctors, right? We put all of this pressure on them to know everything in every realm of health. But all of that to say, you know, I haven't done a ton of research on, and I have not read Sean Baker's book, but Dr. Baker, I was looking into some of the information he was giving about why he did the carnivore diet, and he differentiated that he tried it out for a little bit and really had just positive things to report, went back to a more normal, balanced way of eating, didn't feel as good, and then for him went back to the carnivore diet. And he specified that for him it worked, right? But I think it comes back to what you were saying, Jeremy, is that it won't work for everyone. And briefly, from what I read, he similarly encouraged that everyone try to find the diet that makes them feel the best. And that's not always going to be the carnivore diet. The one caveat I'll say, and we'll get into the research a little bit, is there's not a whole lot of long-term research about the carnivore diet, and there are significant nutrient deficits associated with only eating meat, namely fiber. But also, you know, excluding fruits, vegetables, and whole grains that have been very strongly associated with positive health outcomes related to chronic health diseases in the literature. And so to ignore the body of evidence that recommends whole grains, fruits, vegetables, legumes to promote a diet that has largely not been studied for long term is a little bit risky, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's, you know, and what, let me just preface this. This is what I usually do when people come in, they want to do carnivore. We A, establish what is their going to be their rules, what are the things that they're going to eat, that type of stuff, right? And let's say they just want to do it by the book. I'm cool with that. You know, like, let's do this for 4 to 6 weeks. Let's see how you feel. What I would like to eventually work in there is the following. And that's where I go into, you know, talking about maybe adding some supplements to the regimen, depending on if they don't want to add in vegetables and fruit at a certain point. Okay. So I would do something like our OptiGreens and our OptiReds plus a fiber supplement, right? Hitting on those things that you're just talking about. And I get it. You know, some of the argument is that, well, if they're consuming enough liver, you know, products, then they can get the nutrients inside of that, right? And not saying that you can't. It's just like it's hard to do, right? So that's kind of what I'll do with people. They want to do it is, work them in that. And then if they really love it and they feel good and want to stay on it, as long as they're taking Opti Greens, Opti Reds, and fiber, I'm cool with it, right? Because I'm kind of, once again, taking a supplement and supplementing the nutrition plan for what I feel is optimal and what they're missing, right? But most of the time, and I say most of the time, this is just talking about the individuals I worked with. So this is not studies. I would say 90% of the time, what I end up doing within an 8 week period is we start working more of those carbohydrates back into their diet because the individuals just miss them, right?
Yeah.
Like they just
Yeah, they
miss them.
realize, I would say, and maybe this is your experience, they realize by practicing that stricter carnivore diet that like they've now eliminated these processed foods, these processed sugars, and so it's easier for them to then create a more balanced diet that aren't based around that.
Yep.
And
And
that
some people look different. Some have oatmeal back in, some, work bread back in with the fruits and veggies, some just veggies, some just fruit, right? So it just becomes a little bit of hybrid. And I would say out of the, roughly 9 out of 10 that transition to that, eventually transition back to more of, you know what, Jeremy, I'm just gonna eat quality high foods and watch my protein calories, which is, cool. That's what I like. So that's just
yeah.
the trend that I see working with clients who choose to start with this particular plan.
That's awesome. And I think this is a point to the coaches out there. What a great approach to show your client that you're listening to them, that you hear what they want to try and that you support them along the way and you try to optimize what they want to do, right? As a coach, we're a guide. We're not like a dictator. So that's really cool to hear that in your experience, a lot of times it's led them to what the research shows is maybe a healthier, more balanced diet. A couple last points on the carnivore diet. What I would say is you brought up like liver and grass-fed, grass-finished meats and organic and small farm batched, all those things. That's really, I think, where the health benefits of the carnivore diet come from. And so if you're not getting good quality meat, if you're not sure about the quality, you're not going to get the nutrients that the carnivore enthusiasts are saying you're getting through your meat, right? Because one of the arguments is, well, the meat eats everything that we would be eating, so they're getting all the nutrients from that, so we're getting the nutrients. In a perfect execution of the carnivore diet, perhaps, but what I would say is processed meats are a known carcinogen, and processed meats make up a lot of meat consumption of Americans. And so if you're going on the carnivore diet and you're like, well, I'm going to eat a lot of bacon, and I'm going to eat a lot of sandwich meat, and I'm going to, eat pepperonis and everything in the Lunchable except, the other stuff, that's probably
100%.
not going to be the best approach. So it, I think with the carnivore diet, like we said, if you are drawn to it and you want to try it out,
Well,
I would do it under the guidance of a coach so that you can maybe have a discussion about some of those nutrients you might be missing. I would do a lot of research into the meat that you are selecting and making sure that it is good quality. If if you're committed to this diet, it will likely cost a little bit extra to get that quality of meat, but it would be worth it and it would behoove you. And then again, just assess how you feel. And if you're on it long term, I would consider maybe doing more routine lab work because there aren't a lot of studies out there showing the long-term effects of it. And so maybe just making sure that, again, everyone's going to be affected differently. If you have a family history of high cholesterol or high triglycerides,
well, and a homework assignment I would give the listeners is the following, and then I'm going to touch a little bit on the high triglyceride. I'm sorry, the high cholesterol. Just do a Google search on the nutrient value of grass. I'm sorry, not grass-fed. Yeah, we can start there. Nutrient value of grass-fed beef versus non-grass-fed beef 80/20, and just look at the difference in the nutritional values, like the difference in the vitamins and minerals, different ratio of omega-3s and omega-6s. The other one that is exciting to do is farm raised fish versus wild caught fish. So do salmon, farm raised salmon, and do wild caught salmon, and just look at the nutritional different values on the same serving size. So take a look into to that and see what you guys think. Just once again, just knowledge, right? Whether you're doing this or not, because that's a quality of food conversation, which I'm sure we're going to have in some of these episodes that we do, and then probably really need to do an episode that's just food quality. So, And the other thing, yeah, the other that we have to watch out, and I love that you mentioned blood work. There is a small percentage of people, and I don't know this. I need to read a little bit more, that even if you're doing healthy fats, right? When I say healthy fats, like even the saturated fats that you're consuming are healthy. Like they're coming from coconut oil, they're coming from all grass-fed product. There's some people that just have a genetic component that will drive up cholesterol levels, right? So that's just something to be aware of. So even though it may work for you, in the sense of you like the diet, that type of stuff, it may not be beneficial for you to stay on it long term, secondary to maybe just a genetic disposition that you have.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's a good place to kind of wrap up the carnivore diet because it leads well into the paleolithic diet. Most people know it as the paleo diet. And we'll kind of start with where you started the conversation, Jeremy, because I like that you brought up that point immediately and that people think that these diets are one and the same or very similar. And when you see the execution of them, you do see the execution being very similar, but they're actually quite different based on what is studied as a carnivore or paleolithic diet and what it has been kind of intended to be and its hypothesized benefits. So the paleo diet, Jeremy, you had a laughing face.
I did. I had to say something before we get started because I think it sets the stage, right? And this is what I love when you're doing most of the education. I get to just think of like past experiences and the next thing I want to say, right? But I remember, back when I was teaching the paleo diet a lot. I was really trying to get people away from processed foods, would teach the concepts of, meats, fish, nuts and seeds, right? Like staying away from processed things or things we can hunt and things we could gather as a broad statement. Okay. And I remember we had a little cookout at the gym and someone brought regular chocolate chip cookies and maybe they were brownies. I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but regular ones versus paleo chocolate chip cookies. Okay. None of the regular chocolate chip cookies got touched. The paleo ones were gone, right? And I can't, and I asked the girl that made them, like, hey, you have the caloric and the macros from that. The paleo cookies had more calories in it than the regular cookies, right? It was just the term paleo. Everybody thought that, oh, they are healthy, right? They are good. And so that just made me laugh in the sense of us talking about it, right? Like, and it still goes back to like, okay, if you're doing the paleo diet and you really want to have, success with it, you still have to track because that's one of the things I hear people all the time. Well, you just eat these foods, you don't have to worry about it. No, you still have to be aware of the total calorie consumption that you're having if the goal is, for example, fat loss. So that's the reason I was laughing. It's a good story to kind of set the tone.
That is a perfect intro because we'll get into that a little bit more later. And I think that it's not an uncommon situation, right? We see the label posted on it. We see a certain individual that we aspire to be or look like or feel like or perform like doing it, and then we want to do it. That also brings me to a funny little like anecdote is. Some of the athletes that Tonal uses to use those high level athletes as if they're doing Tonal every day to get them to where they were is just funny. You know what I mean? So it's like, remember the marketing.
Hey, I'm gonna have you start over with that. So we are about 23 minutes in. Go, it froze on like when the first time you said tonal athletes.
Okay. So
Yeah.
just a funny anecdote is, and this is along the same veins, but a little more in the fitness space, I guess, is that Tonal uses these high-level athletes to market their product, which again, this is nothing against Tonal, but it creates this association in our brain, like, oh my gosh, LeBron James uses Tonal. That's how he got to where he is. It's like, no, it's most certainly not.
And that's the old way of supplement. Like that is one of the reasons I fell in love with First Form 10 years ago, right? Because they didn't do that. They took everyday quote unquote people who by all means are still look good, still are good athletes, but they weren't like pro athletes that were, hey, they were taking the product first that earned the position of athlete or brand ambassador, right? And I think that's so true, right? Because it's just that's how marketing works. Right. We say it from the beginning. You said it earlier, like, oh, that person has the body that I want. I need to go do everything that this person's doing, right? So I think that's a really good point.
And marketing isn't bad, guys. We're not here to, we laugh about it. It's about, again, going back, one of my favorite phrases is just like being an informed consumer. And it's hard, it takes practice and it's a lifelong process, but being as objective as you can and, doing your own research, like Jeremy was saying. But with the paleo diet, so the paleo diet is based on this concept that we should be consuming what our prehistoric ancestors consumed, and that we should primarily be avoiding modern, ultra-processed, readily available foods that have been popularized really in the last several decades since the Industrial Revolution, which has made food really, really accessible. And also, we've formulated ways to make food very, very palatable. And I'm kind of using food here as a loose term, right? There's whole less processed foods, and then there's foods that we've created. And so the paleo diet includes foods, as Jeremy mentioned, that can be hunted, fished, or gathered. So really taking us back to our foraging days. One challenge with studying this diet is obviously that that term is pretty broad. And so the Paleolithic diet isn't one thing, and it really depended on the region that people were in based on a lot of studying and archaeologists and anthropologists, as well as scientists. So with the scientific community, they've kind of come up with a definition of what the diet most likely consisted of. And it consisted of foods like plants, tubers, seeds, nuts, wild grown barley, legumes, flowers, fish in coastal regions, insects. And then one thing that I do want to point out, just because we just came off of talking about the carnivore diet, is it did include meat. But the conclusion at this point in time is that meat probably only consisted of about 3% of the whole diet. And to Jeremy, your point earlier, most people that are doing the paleo diet, meat is the most accessible thing for people to consume. And so they do a lot less of the legumes, the barley, the beans, the fruits, the vegetables. Definitely not doing insects, I would say, in a lot of places that we're working with. But they do consume a lot of meat. And so that's one of those differences in terms of, like, you hear these benefits of paleo diet, but the paleo diet that you are seeing being popularized may not be the same paleo diet that you're seeing the benefits reported in the research for. Which, again, is not to say that you shouldn't be including maybe more than 3% meat in your diet, but it's just to consider that if we're going to adopt a diet like this, and if we're going to trust in the benefits that we are hypothesizing it has for specific reasons, we do want to make sure that then what we're practicing is aligned with those hypotheses. And that would, include the other key aspects of the diet, which are legumes and fruits and vegetables and
And
fiber-dense,
then
nutrient-rich foods.
the other thing that I liked out of it, as I've gotten, quote, more experience or older, was it talks about like different regions, right? So you have to remember certain foods, oranges, were not available in maybe the Alaska region or the northern state. So like there's a lot of nuances in there that I think, a lot of people need to think about. Now I just want to tie it to what I was saying earlier, about them being kind of the same. So I talked about with clients that want to do paleo, great, right? So then what I generally start out with if they're fat loss clients is it basically being animal product, fruits and veggies only, right? Maybe a little bit of nuts and seeds, like that kind of being the primary foods that they're consuming inside of their plan, right? Once again, it cuts out all the processed foods, inside of their diets. And then with that, I generally still recommend a fiber supplement, because a lot of times when I say yes, eat more fruits and veggies, the problem is people, once again, we as humans don't like veggies a lot of times. Okay. So what I see is people just don't consume enough of them, to get to that range of fiber. Which again, don't think we've talked about on the podcast at all, is roughly 14 grams of fiber for every 1,000 calories that you consume. So just kind of throwing some generic recommendations out there. And I think for females, man, this is off the top of my head. So if you guys go out and douse me on this. I think for guys, it's something like 28 to 45, and ladies, 20 to 35, somewhere in those ranges, depending on which governing body you're recommending from. So being the
Yeah, I think a
recommending
little higher. I
body.
think the minimum is like 25 for females. And I like that you brought up the 14 grams per
It's a generic recommendation, right? 14 for 1,000. You know, so technically, if someone was on a reduced caloric diet, you know, then like, you know, 1,600 or something, then the 20 grams would be the range. But those are just ranges. Once again, like a lot of things. But you can see why, you know, for example, 30, 40 grams of fiber respectively inside someone's diet, like that's hard to get in when you're not eating whole grains, fruits, and veggies.
And so that I think speaks to the benefit of that more balanced, inclusive diet. And again, like you mentioned, Jeremy, I like that you pointed this out. One of the big things about the paleo diet is that it eliminates, for lack of a better term, you know, depending on how strictly you're following it, it eliminates added sugars and even added sodium. And so what you see in the literature, any diet that has success, not just on weight management, but on chronic disease prevention and management, the common threads are not including added sugars, eliminating refined grains, and limiting sodium. And so a diet that is going to be whole food based, that eliminates those three nutrients of concern, is going to have positive impact on not only weight loss, probably because, you know, on a diet like this, you're again, whole foods are more nutrient dense, less calorically dense. And so you're probably going to take in less energy, which the research has shown has been associated with a paleo style diet. But then you're also eliminating a lot of those triggers that not only cause, but perpetuate and worsen chronic disease.
And I would say, like a lot of the clients that I see that are doing quote unquote paleo thing, it ends up being like kind of a paleo hybrid Mediterranean thing, you know, in today's choice food choices, which is awesome. Like I can get down with that, right? You know, so it, once again, not a bad thing, right? Like I think it's, you know, focusing on whole foods and that type of stuff, but we have to recognize that. And a golden delicious apple today was not what apples look like 150 years ago or 1,000 years ago, right? You know, still got to be careful with just, you know, eating these products. Another example that I got, you know, before in paleo is like, you know, people will consider honey paleo, right? And honey is a simple sugar. And I had a female client one time that was just putting honey on everything. Right. And the calories in the side of this diet was still very, very elevated, primarily secondary to the honey. And she's like, but Jeremy, it's paleo. And I'm like, I got that. But we can't consume, you know, a cup of it a day and keep our calories within range, you know, to lose weight like your goal.
That is funny that it, that you have those, you know, those teaching moments, but that is important to let everyone know, because again, it's something I think that some people would consider obvious, but again, we associate these terms and these concepts with health, and it comes down to the execution. It comes down to the patterns and concepts, and not just the word that is attached to it. But yeah, I mean, the American Diabetes Association, I believe in their most recent updated guidelines, actually now includes a Paleolithic style diet as one of their recommended or approved diets for management of diabetes. And again, it has a little
Awesome.
asterisk in those guidelines that says that there's not a whole lot of research on it, which is true, because to your point, Jeremy, a lot of what we have been able to study is the Mediterranean diet, and it has yielded great health benefits. And so there, you know, I think it's hard, again, going back to we're not living in the same era that we're basing this diet off of, and so it makes it challenging to study, I think, and that definition hasn't been necessarily as clear for a ton of years. So I think it'll take time to acquire more research on it. But one piece of evidence that I did want to bring up is there was a study done, and maybe we can include this one in the show notes, Jeremy. I'll send it to you after. But it was looking at the satiety effect of Paleolithic meals versus others. And the paleo diet and style of eating was significantly associated with increased satiety or increased fullness. So there could be an element of utilizing a paleo diet for appetite management and then therefore weight loss, which could be really useful to individuals. Not to mention it does teach really strong primary concepts of strong, nutritional patterns.
Yeah, and I can see that. Remember, our satiety really comes from protein and fiber, right? So meats and veggies, guys, and that keeps your calories relatively
Fats
low
as
too.
well, right? Healthy fats I would add in there. So the nuts and the seeds component.
And nuts and seeds, definitely, especially if it's not a reduced caloric diet, right? Because a lot more people are going to be able to, if you're not on a reduced caloric diet, it's easier to work the nuts and seeds in there, avocados in there, that type of stuff. And I would like to, be able to look back in 10 years to see where the carnivore is in some of the research, right? If
I
so,
know that's going to be really interesting.
So does the American Dietetic Association pick that up in 10 years and say, hey, these boundaries of, carnivore diet is good, right? Because technically speaking, on both paleo and carnivore, if we're cutting out the simple processed carbohydrates, we're controlling the carbohydrate load. Therefore, we're controlling how much blood glucose and insulin someone makes,
I
right?
think
So,
one thing to put in with that, though, is there have been shown that it's there may be more success too in managing health and not just emphasizing what needs to be eliminated from the diet, which we know are the sodiums, the saturated fats, and the added sugars, but also emphasizing the nutrients and foods that we know have positive health effects, which are fruits and vegetables, fiber, and whole grains. And again, we say whole grains, right? If you have like celiac disease, things like that, you have to avoid gluten. But yeah, I think there's an element of we tend to focus on what needs to be eliminated, and you are absolutely correct. In both of these diets, it eliminates things that we know are hazards to our health. But I worry that it sometimes doesn't emphasize the things that also promote good health and drive processes in our bodies that, prevent illness and optimize mental and physical and emotional health.
Well, and I think that's something that unfortunately a lot of quote unquote diets focus on. It may even my education, I think sometimes, focus on because I'm attacking, what I know is going on, right? And that's generally speaking, we are overeating processed foods, and overeating food volume, right? Portions of size in general, right? And I've gotten better about, speaking to, okay, we want to increase protein in the diet. Here are the benefits of increasing protein. We want to increase produce. Here are the benefits of increasing produce in the diet. So I think that's just a common thing that sometimes we do, right? And, especially in like sports coaching, we don't want to do that, right? Because, what you tell someone not to do, then they're thinking about that, right? Like,
Think about.
don't swing early. Well, then the person swings early because they're thinking about swinging early, right?
Well, they're like,
Versus,
well, why? What's going to happen if I don't? And then they do it. And you're like, okay.
So I like that aspect of, of maybe looking at, okay, what are the benefits? And guys, that's what we're trying to do here is like go through this and just show you like they can, these two diets specifically, or programs or man, it's just the definition of them, right? Eating styles. There we go. They have some benefits, right? And just to hit on a few more of the things that I've seen go wrong inside of them, right? Once and foremost, like I work with a lot of people that fat loss is the goal. So I've seen multiple times that people are still overeating calories because someone said, or there's a rule out there that you don't have to track, when you're eating these two styles. And my encouragement there would be what I do with most people is, hey, I really like to see you track in the beginning to learn, what are your habits, learn what are the foods that you like and dislike, and learn what works for you. I don't expect you to track 365 days a year. Wait, yeah, days a year for the rest of your life, right? I don't expect that. But I do like you tracking in the beginning so that we don't see those mistakes in there. The other
Yeah, we
one,
gotta know where we're at in order to change anything.
100%. And the other one you mentioned earlier, quality of food matters. Hey Jeremy, I'm eating paleo or I'm eating carnivore. What you have? Well, I had a Big Mac and I didn't get any sauce and I threw the bun away. Okay. And that's not just one time. Like for those that are traveling and you want to hit your macros for the day and you did that, I'm okay with that. What I'm speaking to that conversation is I've seen people that is consistently what they did.
Yeah, like zoom out, look at the overall quality.
Correct. Like day in and day out, that was the quality of their diet. And you went back to it earlier, the pepperonis, the non-healthy, processed deli meats. Because there's some deli meats out there that can be good, right? But that's something to keep in mind too, is those are common themes. Or the other one, it just popped in my mind. We see this a lot with programs, right? Hey, you follow carnivore for X amount of time, you follow paleo for X amount of time, you're very strict on it. And at the end, you don't maintain the habits. The pendulum swings all the way back to the other side. You go back to the old habits. And, once again, all we did was have a short period of quote unquote success because we looked
And
at it as a given period of time.
yeah, if I can jump in there, and I think when that happens, the association we make is, oh my gosh, I was so successful over here only eating meat. When I went back over here, I gained all this weight again. I became unhealthy. Oh, the only way to be healthy then is to only eat meat. And we inappropriately associate the things that we added back into our diet as, well, I guess I can't eat fruits and vegetables and sweet potatoes and rice anymore. But it's really, okay, well, maybe it's those known hazard nutrients, which are the highly processed, highly refined, added sugars, tons of sodium that you added in. But our brain doesn't make those associations. We see when we were successful, we see when we weren't successful. And like you said, if you're not tracking, you're probably not going to account for as many added sugars, added sodium, added saturated fats that you're intaking. So you'll just think that, okay, well, now that I added back in grains, I guess they are the ultimate enemy. And then you go right back into it, one of the two extremes. And so I think what the last point I would make is that there are some known things in our diets that we know benefit us when we remove, and that's the sodium, the added sugars, the highly refined, highly processed foods. Doesn't mean you can't ever, ever have them. It just means we know that they're over time, if you are primarily consuming a diet made up of those, it will negatively impact your overall health and longevity. And then we also know there are some nutrients that have been shown in the literature to be very positive for us. And that includes things like fruits and vegetables, phytonutrients, whole grains, legumes, nuts, seeds, all of the things that we have associated with positive health. And so that's not to promote or demote either of these dietary patterns. It's just to, remind you of what makes these things successful. Is it really that you're only eating meat, or is it that you've now cut out a lot of the highly processed, ultra refined added sugars that you were consuming before?
And that ties it into earlier what you just said, the emotional aspect, right? Because not only do people get emotionally attached, oh, this works, right? They also get that negative part where you just said they blame one food group. Well, it's the carbs that made me overweight, right? Not counting all the, like you mentioned, the saturated fats, the sodium, the things are coming from, what we deem there. So I think that ties it right back into what we started with. And then the other thing, like just know, guys, that if you choose either one of these, a lot of people will not stick with them long term. They look a little different. Just back to what you're talking about, the doctor's name. I would like to see what he is consuming today, right? Like, because I think he did, I remember reading his the carnivore diet always relates back to the history kind of with him. So I'd say it's been 2 years, maybe 30, something like that. So it'd be interesting to see what has changed, right? Because things change with me. Like I do more carbohydrate now than I probably ever did. Because I was always, thinking that for me, carbs are bad. Because if I do a lot of carbs, I do feel a little bit tired. They don't agree with me as good. And that's what I overeat, right? So I think, learning and changing and evolving as you go. When you're seeing results, like that is what matters in this journey, in this process, learning what works for you as an individual.
I agree.
Awesome. I think, as always, great conversation. And for the listeners out there, like if you have a specific question on paleo or carnivore, let us know. We'll give, our opinion on it. Because once again, like when you get into the rules of either one of them, it's going to be different probably for whoever's teaching it or what camp it is, that type of saying. But the concept of it, like what we said, and it's, remember, it's what I teach. Protein and calories, right? So calories being at a level that's promoting whatever your goal is, gain muscle, lose body fat, protein at a good enough amount to, maintain muscle tissue or gain muscle tissue. And then we eat a protein, primary protein source at each meal or each snack, and then we eat a produce. Then from there, depending on if you like more carbs or like more fats, then you go into those healthy fats, right? You look for the avocados, the coconut oils, the nuts and seeds. If you want more carbohydrate, you look for like what Maddie has said multiple times a day. The legumes, right? The whole grains, right? Because that's kind of a choice of where do I want my sources. So that's kind of, once again, what I teach on a baseline, and you can see where both of these quote unquote nutritional approaches today can fit into that baseline with a little bit of modification. So
Absolutely. That was a really good summary, Jeremy. Hit all
awesome.
the main points.
Guys and gals, I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jeremy.